So we do have an opportunity to synchronize with the Lord on that which is the next step for all of us here, to be in sync with Him, so that He has free access to us on His terms, and starting right here with me. And as it flows down to proper order, then that which we talked about today and what the Lord has given us actually becomes flesh. It actually becomes fleshed out in whatever we represent as an assembly, as a template for the Genesis 6 Hitler Project in 1944. That has to come down. It's our Lord returning is the issue. And that we are in a place where He has the freedom to manifest Himself through us as the morning star. Once that happens in the history of the church, Jesus Christ is the morning star, there is no defense. Satan has zero power to stand before the revelation and the manifestation of Jesus Christ as the morning star in our midst. So that is the target zone. That's what we're moving towards. God knows that every one of us here have one heart. The one heart is that Jesus Christ, in terms of His will for this assembly, that He is able to fully occupy the stronghold that Satan has built. That He occupies it. Everything that was presented this morning is all about this, what we're talking about now. So it's not just something from the Word of God, that we are actively synchronized with the headship of Jesus Christ, who is way ahead of us. He's way ahead of me. I'm defeated. I get up in the morning and go into the Word of God, and I tell the Lord, there's so much here, I don't even know where to begin and end off, personally. So that God would be merciful to you ladies and comfort you, knowing that our history here has been literal hell on earth for a lot of the times. And we share in it. But in the integrity of God, what the enemy meant for evil, God has meant it for good. It is God, we know from Nehemiah, that turns cursing into blessing. So I'm standing into that as we move on together in the Lord. So anything come to mind regarding any thoughts or questions we have regarding today?
I asked to share first because it's burning in my heart. So I pray that this would be a blessing to all of us, and especially to the Lord. Because this, I can't even tell you what's going on in my spirit. But it is so true. I see the whole picture. Because in the beginning of Morningstar, when there are four of us here that were in the beginning, and then Julie came. But not Julie's the fifth, but four of us who were initially. Yeah. And so this is so very important. And I've got a lot of different things going on in my head, so bear with me. But the first thing I thought about is how it says in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate or fully equipped, complete, fully furnished for every good work. Mature, perfect. So I think the Word of God for each one of us today has, it can be any of those reasons. It can be for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. But whatever it was for any one of us today, it is so that we might be mature. Yeah. And to me, that goes right along with Caleb having a heart that fully followed the Lord. That's maturity. That is completeness. That is perfection in the faith. So I say that before I said anything else. As Doug was, you know, going through all these foundational verses, I can't help but think about our beginnings. And this was our beginnings. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. God planted it so firmly in our hearts that the taking of the land, which is Christ, our Canaan, was the goal, is the goal. So I'm so fired up. And so, I mean, there's like a passion just oozing out of me, because this makes sense of our whole history. This makes it worth it. This is like okay, little morning star, you little tiny, you know, handful of people that remain, I planted you. I planted this word in you. I gave you this insight. I gave you revelation. And you have not veered. I have kept you on course. I showed you then, I showed you who the enemy was in the land. I showed you what was against Jesus Christ being formed in you, Jesus Christ returning. The Lord has done it all, and it so fits in. You remember he says that these, I think it's Paul, that says that these things were written for your instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. You know, and what things are is he referring to? How they fell in the wilderness. The warning. They fell in the wilderness. They did not follow the Lord God fully. And only two of that generation. I mean, this how pathetic. And like when the Lord says, they did not listen to my voice. These 10 times. What were the 10 times, Doug? All the testings, right?
Yeah.
And God's provision. Yeah. And God's wonderful provision in each testing. And he said, yet you did not listen. They did not listen. So that's kind of the introduction, but it's like it all is just folding in together. It's all making so much sense. In the book of Deuteronomy, which Doug said is the second giving of the law, to remind the people.
The renewal of the covenant.
I mean, Moses had to do that because it had been a long journey. Do you know, I have written, probably because one of the times that I read through Deuteronomy, I counted the number of times the land is mentioned. The goal. Christ our Canaan, 200 times in the book of Deuteronomy. The goal, Christ, is in our sight. You know, and I say, wow, Lord. And this has been a, as Dallas Willard said, a long obedience in the same direction. But that direction God gave us, that what's it called, the lodestar, whatever it's called, that star, you know, as our compass, and that star is Christ. And so Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, because that's when they brought back the report, right? And the people are all freaking out about what this is going to mean, right? He quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. And that is the overcomer's heart. And I wrote, these words are written in ink in my Bible on December 5th, 1993. So, I mean, I didn't write that looking back. I wrote it in 1993, and I wrote, our calling in this generation. Now, that really means something to me, because it shows forth the faithfulness of our God. And he knew what it was going to mean to us. He knew these giants are too much for us. These giants that were put in to God's people, you know, and wrapped around and the web, and it's too much for our precious brother Dan. It's too much. So the Lord is still working there. It's going to be undone. We believe it is. And so these are like verses that just so stood out to me. So I also wrote down a couple more. So let's see. So as sometimes distasteful as it is that we still have to deal with this, that we're still, you know, this and that. It's like, no. I mean, the Lord says, you have a few miles to go. Press in. Keep pressing in. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God, because we are reproved. We are corrected. We are taught.
Training and equipped.
Yes. But for you, for the folks that came a little later, this is what we sank our eye teeth in, and that is what makes Doug who he is. It makes us say, let's keep going, folks. Let's keep plodding along, no matter what raises its head to say, you're not coming in here.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, it's there. All yeah, right.
No fear of God. Remember, yeah. Malachi said, no fear of God.
Right. And so then, Joshua 14, 8, and 9, what I appreciated when Moses is, let's see, it says that then sons of, okay. So he's telling them what Moses was saying, because he's saying that when I was 40 years old, when Moses, the servant of God, sent me to spy. And he says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. Then, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. Whatever that means, all the way into eternity. It has to do with an eternal inheritance.
Yeah,
because you have followed the Lord my God. So what is, I mean, Moses doesn't say the Lord your God. He is stating from his own heart, you have followed the Lord my God fully. And so I think as Doug, as our pastor, is, you know, leading us according to what God is putting on his heart, we hear a, you're following the Lord my God fully. And it wasn't just Caleb that had, that followed the Lord God fully, it was Joshua too.
Oh, it was,
you said Caleb alone, but it was
yeah,
Joshua
course,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Joshua and Caleb were always mentioned together.
And I remember years ago, we had a lot of little ones in our midst. Lots of little ones. And probably most of them were ritually abused or abused in some form, these precious little ones. But I remember teaching them about Joshua and Caleb. So as I was sitting here thinking, I was praying, Lord God, maybe that seed went into their hearts. And they're young people now. They're in their 20s, 30s. And so perhaps, yeah, or maybe older than that, perhaps some of them are going to follow the Lord God fully. And then in Deuteronomy 25, this is, okay. He said, you know, he's talking about remembering what Amalek did to you. And I thought about Major Thomas, again, another a very important person in our lives. You remember his message? They forgot to remember.
It was Manasseh.
And yes, and we can do that too. We can forget to remember what it's all about as we go on. And so, and he says, you must not forget. That and Major Thomas talks about Amalek being the flesh. So, and then Deuteronomy, 27 says, and the Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, which also is mentioned in 1 Peter, that we are his, and also in Titus, I
yes,
believe.
Thanks.
And says, and that means we constitute the crowned jewel of God. Says, as he promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, and that he shall set you high above all nations which he has made, for praise, fame, and honor, that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God. And then I'll finish with this. That took me to thinking about 1 Peter, where we hear those same kind of words. We hear in 1 Peter 1, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, and does that not take us back to the Old Testament and these trials in the wilderness? Maybe that our very faith, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor. The same words he talked about right there in Deuteronomy. Praise, glory, and honor. So that is what the Lord has in his heart. Always.
Yeah, we share in that,
actually. And, yes, and we share in that. At the revelation, or in the revelation of Jesus Christ. So anyway, I'm thanking the Lord very much, no matter what we still have to endure, go through, which I'm sensing is happening right here, right now, today, we will go forth in faith, and we'll make it, because our God is great. Because he wouldn't put this eternal passion in our hearts if he wasn't going to be the one. Faithful is he who called you, he will also do it. So we'll get through. And I praise God for this. For this renewal today.
Any questions or thoughts?
Thank you, Lori. I thought that was great. I had a couple of thoughts just throughout the whole thing. I know, just like, too, I was thinking about when you were talking about Saul at the end there, and like when he's like, oh yeah, we followed the word of God fully, or whatever his words were, I can't remember.
We did obey,
and we fully, what was it? I don't know, they fully killed everybody, whatever it was, the words, I can't remember anymore, but we fully carried out the word of the Lord. And all I could think was, how much is that, like, can that be my tendency? Anyway, is to want to do things or just do things part way and then be like, oh yeah, but I really did it, or make yourself look good and then this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, Lord, just every way in which that is my tendency, apart from Christ, that is totally my tendency. I would not go the full way, but I would say that I did, and then I would try to make myself look like I did. And so, it's like,
amen.
It is. That truly is. It's
did.
Just like, Lord, I just confess that to you, because that is my nature. And the only way I will go that full way and fully disinherit the enemy is because you did, and they lay hold of you who lives in me that already has done that.
That's good.
Because otherwise, there's no way.
No.
I mean, I get tired.
He's
you
the
know?
Overcomer, right?
He is. And so that's where it's just like, Lord, I confess again, that's my heart. My, apart from Christ, that is just to be like, all right, I'm good here. I'm going to take a nap. You know,
the flesh.
It's the flesh, it is.
Well,
that's
but
me.
It's okay to nap. It's just well. not too long extended.
Yeah, but I wouldn't get up from my nap. So,
well, Christ lives in you.
So. But Christ lives in me, and he is the one who'll take us all the way through, and he's the one who, when the battle grows long, he holds up our hands like I can't even remember. Aaron and what's his face did her. And so all I can think of is my schoolwork. So I'm thinking like Hitler, Heimlich. I'm like, no, this is not my sister. Heimlich maneuver. Himmler. It's bad. It's bad.
Mussolini.
It starts with an H. Mussolini. No, I don't even know. But yeah, he does. He's the one who does that. And then every way in which, I mean, he knows, I mean, I know you guys don't see it, but it's like the Lord's put that in us to pray for, like even you, Doug, and because you're the one out there kind of fighting the battle. Okay, well, Lord, however we can hold up those hands to... You know, I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, I'm not available to counsel people. I really am not. And it's like,
but that needs to be an extension of you then, when you do that.
Yeah, and that's whatever the Lord
it's
is
not
doing
a small thing
that
you're holding up the hands. It's not at
and
all.
Then, but that the Lord will overcome, because he's the only way that this entire assembly will make it through.
Any of his remnant.
But all I can say is for myself, mm-hmm. my tendency is to start short and to make myself look good still. But may he deal with that.
Praise God you see it. Praise God you've discovered that about yourself.
It's true, though. I'm like, I remember in the beginning, it's like when we started this journey, it's like, Lord, take me at the word of my lips, because I say yes to go through the whole way, but I know my heart is not to. And now even more so, being integrated, it's a whole lot worse. I mean, because at least before I had Jenny.
I had a religious presenter. Like Saul, that says, yeah, I can do this.
Now it's just all me, like, yeah, forget it. I still try to make myself look good. But, no. So, Lord, that's where at least we can say, Lord, I confess that. And he's faithful to forgive us. And he's the one who'll carry us through, because he already did.
I think it was very sort of encouraging for me, which I've not really seen before or heard before, was the fact that Abram occupies Hebron first. In other words, he has the high ground first. In other words, he has occupation and possession of that high ground right in the beginning. Then it goes through an entire waging of war on the Amalekites and on Amalek, and it's ongoing, as you were saying, Doug. However, we get, what I noticed was we get to John 17, which you mentioned is our place of fellowship, which is our Hebron. So what struck me is that this place of fellowship, which is in Christ, which really is our inheritance, begins with the seed of Abraham and ends with the seed of Abraham. So the encouraging factor for me there is that no matter how much we have to wage war on Amalek from generation to generation, it will begin with the seed of Abraham and it will end with the seed of Abraham. So he will have his rightful place, his inheritance, his place of fellowship. I also thought of the fact that when we're talking about a place of fellowship, we're talking about a friendship with God. I think T. Austin Sparks said that in one of these current things, it's a friendship with God. And Abraham was considered a friend of God. So really, the entire Hebron, the entire understanding of Hebron for me as the place of fellowship begins with the seed of Abraham and ends with the seed of Abraham, no matter what lies in between.
Yeah.
Good.
So sometime between
the
accounting of Abraham being there at the Oaks of Mamre at Hebron there in Genesis 14, which we see the configuration in Genesis 14 is some of the outflow of what happened in Genesis 11, where the Genesis 10, the scattering of the nations, the Tower of Babel. So now those nations are already under the titular gods of the nations. They're already under that jurisdiction. So at the time Abraham comes on the scene, that which is all those nations that are there, there's quite a confederation there, Chedorlaomer and the five kings. For him to be there at Hebron means that the original name is Hebron. It's later that it becomes Kiriath Arba, the city of Arba, who is the first offspring of the Nephilim after the second incursion. He's Arba. So he took it. So how did he take it? God's people were not there. The seed of Abraham, for whatever reason, was not in place. And so with Caleb, then that territory was given to him, and he claimed back. And so with Abraham is the father of all those who believe. He's the father of faith there in Romans 4. So we see the very beginning and the end is Caleb says, no, God has promised us this. We can take it. There's no 5 cents support for that. It's 100% based upon faith. And so that's where we see in Caleb, he's anchored in the father of our faith, Abraham, Romans 4.
Which is actually anchored in Christ.
Yes, because he's the ultimate seed, yeah.
exactly. And I think that's how it ties in my understanding with John 17, as Hebron being our place of fellowship.
Yeah.
So, seed of Abraham, we're going back to Christ. So, it's quite, yeah, it's quite incredible, really.
Yeah, when we do the cross and higher ground, excuse me, when we do that, a lot of this will really be fleshed out and amplified and consolidated for us in a way that only Sparks can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody else? Well, Lord, we want to acknowledge that that higher ground is something we seek, and it means more of you in occupying our humanity, both individually and collectively. Father, you know what remains in each one of us in order for us to be filled into all the fullness of God, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:19. So, whatever it takes for you to have that in us, your fullness, and for us to be a people who embody and represent the fullness of you, Lord Jesus, who fills all in all. Here we are. We commit you this afternoon, that which would be our time with Susan and Julie. We're trusting you to go ahead so that there's absolutely no remaining trauma interface, spirit, soul, and body conception interface between Susan, Julie, Dan, and his firstborn son, Adam. And as these two male bloodline links, we just ask you to go ahead and clear the ground so that that which would still be in death would be released to come into life. So we just stand this time into the anointing of Jesus Christ, and for you to manifest your lordship and your kingship into this time. And we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.